We've been focusing on the idea, the theme of listening, listening for the unexpected that might break into our world as it broke in during that first Christmas. And so the idea is about listening. And in terms of this morning and our thinking about love, what I've got is a couple of clips of songs that focus on some aspect of love. And we listen to the words and then we reflect on them. So first of all, thanks very much, Jacob.
You must know this pain, though the touch of your hand makes my bones react. It's only the thrill of boy meeting girl of the sense of track. It's physical. Only loving her. You must try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?
I am in awe of that hairdo. It is absolutely magnificent. But my message today isn't about Tina Turner's hairdo. It's about the question she poses in her song. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with Christmas? A catalogue arrives in my letterbox. It is from Farmers, Your Christmas Store. And at the bottom it says, get ready for Christmas with all the best ideas inside. So Advent is about getting ready for Christmas. So here are the answers. So I look inside the Farmers, Your Christmas Store catalogue with all the best ideas inside for an idea of what Christmas is about. And I find a dessert maker for $99.99. How can you live without a dessert maker? But I don't find love on that page. I look to the next page and there is a singing frog for $49.99. How can you live your lives, people, without a singing frog? But I don't find love on that page. I find that the perfect finishing touches to my festive Christmas are apparently sandals, purses and necklaces. No mention of love, is there, Shay, as a perfect finishing touch for Christmas. So purses and necklaces are off your list for Christmas. I find beautiful gift sets that contain body lotion, bath gel and moisturizer. Apparently it's not necessary to include love to make a gift set beautiful. And the themes that farmers have in their Christmas store are apparently Hansel and Gretel, elegance, the Arctic, and carnival. It looks like love didn't make it this year as a theme at farmers. And so I come back to Tina Turner's question. What's love got to do with it? And let's not pick on just farmers. This morning we've reminded each other Advent is about getting ready for Christmas. Harvey Norman, get ready for Christmas. And so I go into this catalogue, which sounds like it's right on the button, and I find iPads, and I find remote control helicopters, and I find digital single lens reflex cameras. All good stuff. But Harvey isn't offering love this year to help us get ready for Christmas. Ripco's gift guide, Ripco's great gifts, Tour World, great ideas for Christmas gifts, Noel Leeming's first for gifts, not a mention on any of their pages of a gift called Love. Noel Leeming, the guy's even named after Christmas. Noel Leeming. And so we come back to Tina's question, what's love got to do with Christmas? And it's actually quite a sharp question when you start reading through the Bible accounts of the first Christmas, Matthew and Luke especially. Because as I read through them, and we heard one of them a few moments ago, I find bucketfuls of joy and peace and freedom and worship. I find lashings of light and life, outpourings of glory and grace, overflowing happiness and mercy, all in the Christmas stories and all good stuff. But actually, there's no mention of love in the Christmas story. So how come it gate-crashed Advent? And I hear another voice. A voice above the din, the cacophony of the catalogues and the commercials and the jingles. I hear the voice of a man that we call John, who wrote a letter. A letter to a group of believers about 2,000 years ago. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. What's love got to do with it? Love is at the very heart, the driving force of what Christmas is all about. God loved, and so He sent. Jesus crosses the boundary, the frontier, into our world, to start bringing about those things which will lead us back to God. Jesus comes to our territory because of God's love. That's the heart of what drives Christmas. Thank you, Jacob. Our second clip.
And my heart begins to crumble, the heavens tumble, darling, and I'm...
Words, 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 I'm so sick of words. I get words all day through, first from him, now from you. Is that all you blighters can do? Don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Tell me no dreams filled with desire. If you're on fire, show me. Here we are together in the middle of the night. Don't talk of spring, just hold me tight. Anyone who's ever been in love will tell you that this is no time for a chat. Haven't your lips longed for my touch? Don't say how much, show me. Show me. Don't talk of love lasting too time. Make me no undying bond. Show me now.
Right, for those of you who may know more about Tina Turner than about Eliza Doolittle, that was a clip from My Fair Lady. Professor Henry Higgins chooses Eliza Doolittle, who was a Cockney flower seller, as an experiment to turn her into a lady of culture and dignity and class and refinement. Now, don't ask me why a Cockney flower seller has an American accent that we just heard on the clip there. After a few false starts, the professor's experiment is a great success. And a young man, the man we saw, whose name is Freddie Eynsford Hill, falls in love with Eliza and declares it to her on the street at midnight. And in the clip, you hear how Eliza responds to that. Words, 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 that's all you're doing. If you really, really love me, you have to show me. Don't just talk about it. And in today's language, talk is cheap. If you're really serious about this love thing, you have to walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. And so if today we're ready to believe this whole thing about Christmas love, then we're going to be looking for more than just words. If this love thing is real, let's see it shown to us. No matter how heartwarming the carols we sing, no matter how inspiring a sermon might be, no matter how lovely and sentimental the words on the Christmas cards are. And this morning I hear another voice. The voice of a man we call Paul, writing to a group of Jesus followers in a city called Rome. God shows how much he loves us. God shows how much he loves us by having Christ die for us. And the voice again of John, God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. And so as we celebrate the gift of Christmas love, first we're celebrating that love does have something to do with it. And then we're celebrating that God didn't only talk about his love for us, he showed us. And his love shows in the dirt Jesus washes off the feet of his disciples. And his love shows in the way he welcomes ordinary people who come to hear him and to follow him. And his love shows in the nails and the crown of thorns and the cross he wears so that we might have life. The next video clip's from the sequel to The Phantom of the Opera. And if you know the story of The Phantom of the Opera, at the end of the story, the phantom just vanishes. And in the sequel, the story becomes that the phantom escapes from Paris and the opera house in Paris. And with the help of Madame Giry, who is the ballet mistress in The Phantom, he sets up on Coney Island in New York a vaudeville show, Phantasma, a place of attraction and mystery and speculation and fascination. It's a raging success. But he can't forget Christine Daae from the first show. And after 10 years, he anonymously engages her to bring one performance to his vaudeville session. And so Christine arrives with her husband Raoul and her 10-year-old son Gustav. And the phantom and Christine meet face to face, and they both realize that because of the similarities in manner and the talents, that Gustav is in fact son of the phantom, not son of Raoul. And the phantom threatens Christine. If she does not sing for him, he will seize the child and take the child away from her. But on the other hand, if Christine does sing, he will pay off all of Raoul's gambling debts. And because of Christine's love for her child and for her husband Raoul, she agrees. But at the same time, the phantom tricks and torments Raoul into agreeing that if Christine sings for the phantom, Raoul will go back to Paris alone and will leave Christine and Gustav to the phantom. And so whether Christine sings or not, the trap has been set by the phantom. And the phantom gives Christine the song that he's been waiting 10 years to hear her sing. And the song is called Love Never Dies. Thanks, Jacob.
And soon as you submit, surrender flesh and bone, that love takes on a life far greater than your own. It uses you at will and drives you to despair and forces you to feel more joy than you can bear. Love gives you pleasure and love brings you pain. Yet when both are gone, love will still
So Christine sings and the trap is set and there is tragedy without giving you, giving away what actually happens next. So the Phantom's love consists of violence and extortion and obsession and control and selfishness. A love that uses force to get its own way. A love that can only see what it wants, not what other people may need or want. But here's the thing. What does the love of Christmas look like? And we listen to the voices of John and Paul again. God shows how much he loves us by having Christ die for us. This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. Love never dies. On the contrary, Christmas love dies. Jesus dies for us. Christmas love is a dying love, since that's what it takes to reconnect us back to God who waits and longs and seeks for us and waits for us again. And so we come to our last video clip. Thanks, Jacob.
Yeah.
So love changes everything. Hands and faces, earth and sky, how you live and how you die. Love turns your world around, and that world will last forever. So what about Christmas love? What if this Christmas, when you pack away the Christmas baubles and the tinsel and the foil into their boxes again for another year? What if when you vacuum up the pine needles from the carpet? What if when you stuff the wrapping paper into the recycling box? What if you take the broken toy and put it at the back of the cupboard so the kids will forget about it? What if Christmas love escapes, gets loose, out into the world where it scampers around for the rest of the year? What if you find that Christmas love does have everything to do with it? What if you discover that Christmas love is a love that shows and demonstrates and proves itself and isn't just a love that talks? What if you find that Christmas love is a dying love, and that love dying makes all the difference? What if you discover that Christmas love does change everything? What if you hear a voice from long ago? God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. What if? What if?